Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 353.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 353. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your support, as always. I got a great episode coming at you. I switched up some things, and I talk about this. I'm not really sure. Anyway, we are going to go over the tune Body and Soul, and I'm doing more of an analysis tune demonstration, where I play the tune, and I walk you through. It's like a walkthrough, right? And so essentially what I'm doing here is I'm walking you through the tune and showing you advanced jazz piano movements that you can use over the tune. And I don't really tend to do this because it starts to lead to a lot of copying from students, which it doesn't really get students far when you just copy what I do, because you're not really learning the tool, you're not practicing the tool. I go over some examples of this in the particular lesson, but it's just not really my style. You see a lot of this by educators done on YouTube, and I think it actually does attract a lot of students because it's very alluring. It's very alluring to watch a professional jazz piano play through a tune and watch what they're doing to get these amazing sounds and then copy them. Like that's very desirable to students because it can have an instant effect on your sound if you copy them. But what tends to happen is that you don't really learn anything. And so you kind of go through this cyclic pattern of just copying, stopping. And there's no real progression or, you know, progress made in your learning. So you're kind of just stuck in this rut, constantly searching for more transcriptions, more things to copy. And you're never really learning tools or learning your way around the piano to play yourself, right? To express yourself how you want to express yourself, to open up to any tune, to open up to any new real book chart, and be able to create your own arrangement of the tune. Essentially, you're just copying and playing other people's transcriptions for the rest of your musical career, which for some people, I guess they're okay with that. I was never okay with that, so that's not really how I teach. I want to teach people who want more out of their playing, who want to be able to do it themselves and play themselves. That's the way I teach. But anyway, I am kind of reverting to the show and tell method in this particular podcast, and I'm actually going to start doing more. I feel like I'm yelling right now because there's like a wind blower, leaf blower outside. I apologize for that, but it's really, really distracting. It's like hard to not speak quietly because this freaking leaf blower is right outside the windows. Oh God, it's literally coming up right up to my window. I love raw. It's really funny because it's like right outside. Of course, when you go to sit down and record a podcast, the leaf blower is literally right outside, right? It couldn't happen any other way. This is just the way life is, right? And if I just start to laugh because it's what's that theory? What will happen? No, what may happen will happen, right? Anyway, if you can't laugh at stuff like this, then I don't know what life's about, right? I completely lost my train of thought, but this I'm doing in the walk. I'm going to be doing more of these walkthrough demonstration show and tell podcasts, and they're going to be live stream. So if you want to get on the live stream list, you definitely got to get on the email list because you can actually interact with me and visit the live streams as I'm recording these podcasts live. So this is actually a live stream, but it's now a podcast. We publish them as podcasts, so you can rewatch the video whenever you want. You get these kind of liner notes about what I'm doing here at the beginning of the podcast, or you can go on YouTube and find it there as well. Just easier access when we release it as a podcast. So I think that's it. Black Friday is around the corner. I have some really, really amazing releases planned for Black Friday, as far as updates, new content, new courses, amazing discount on Jazz Piano School. And we've done so much technical website work that I'm really, really excited. I continuously strive to improve the technology, the user experience, the content. And after starting these live programs, these live teaching programs that I've been running recently in the past couple of years, I've learned a lot. And I've learned a lot about what extracts really fast results from students and what I'm putting into this new course content. And this new startup stuff is all of the data. It'll kind of, I don't want to call it research. It was more of just findings that I've seen and had through these live program experiences. And so everything that I've learned is actually going into that. It's proven data. It's proven concepts that have really elicited amazing results from my students live, like in person. You know, it's absolutely incredible. So I'm very, very excited about this. It'll drastically help any human being wanting to get better at jazz piano simply by following these easy steps in this thing we're going to be releasing. So anyway, enough of that. Let's dive right into this. This is Body and Soul, fantastic tune. I highly recommend you pull up the chart so you can kind of follow along with me. There is music that you're listening to audio, but if you watch the video, there is music there of the Real Book chart, but obviously if you're listening to the audio podcast, you can just listen and listen to the explanations. I think they'll help too, but I highly recommend you pull up the chart as well. So with that being said, let's dive right in and here we go. This is a funny chart with Body and Soul. Body and Soul in the Real Book is all kind of tilted, so I apologize about that. So if you have Body and Soul available to you, I'd highly recommend you pull it up, and that way you'll be able to not get your head or your neck muscles pinched, I guess, by turning your head for forever, right? So I have this pulled up here, and... What we're going to be doing here, again, is I'm going to be going through this and showing you movements. These are going to be quite advanced, I would say. Not everyone's going to be ready for this, but I think it's going to give you a good idea into some of the advanced movements that you can use in ballads. I'm going to start by going through this slowly and playing it. For the most part, my teaching structure on ballads is going to be melody, bass note, and shells. So a really easy way to start playing ballads, and it's a new system that I'm going to be releasing inside of Jazz Piano School very soon, with a lot of proficiency tests and levels and things like that. It's going to be really, really fun. Is this particular step-by-step system here. So I'm going to play shells here with my melody on top. That's it. Shells below the melody, bass note, and melody. Now this D7, oh, volume just went down. Okay. Volume should be back, should be better now. Let me know if that's better. Here's the melody again with shells. I'm going to put an A flat 7 here instead of that D7 that you're seeing. D flat major 7. Okay, let me move this chart down a little bit more so you can see the changes. Get through the first 8 bars here. There you go. Shells, melody. Now on this minor 7 flat 5, I'm going to have actually 3 shells. So I'm going to have the melody and I put the 3 shells here. So flat 5, 7, 3, because we need that flat 5 in there in that minor 7 flat 5 chord. So I have the melody and those 3 shells because of the minor 7 flat 5. Right? F7. So that's a very beautiful rendition of Body and Soul. And again, it's really the first step in playing ballads that I love to teach because I think it's such a simple way to get into ballads. I'm not going to go through all the steps that I teach because I do want to stick to the topic of today's podcast. So from here, I'm going to go back to the top. I'm going to advance my voicings a little bit. So I'll be using mostly rootless voicings. And by mostly, I'm saying mostly because sometimes I'll be adding in some extensions, but I'll try to tell you the extensions I'm adding in. But for the most part, Here's my rootless voicing E flat minor 7. So now instead of shells, I have a full rootless voicing. Now I'm following what the chart has given me here. I have the flat 9 in my voicing, which is this B natural. Besides that, I just have two shells that I just had already played, plus the flat 9 and the melody. Very easy voicing to play. Again here, I'm gonna actually harmonize my melody with a rootless voicing. Okay. Now let's talk about this D7 that's written here. Before I played an A-flat 7. So this is just a 2-5. So I go E-flat, A-flat, D-flat. That's a regular 2-5. Now, in real books, you'll see these chords written here, and they're actually written in reharms. So this D7 is a tritone of A-flat 7. So that's a written in D7 tritone, which is a beautiful chord. Absolutely gorgeous. And I love to play this tritone reharm right here in this particular spot. So here it is again. D7. Talk about that in a second. Okay, I'm adding a little bit more here. Okay, I'll expand this chart a little bit. I won't keep doing this, but just so you guys can see a little bit of the chart. Okay, then we get into the E flat. Okay, so still not that much happening. Now, I did add some things in my left hand, so let me talk about what I'm starting to do in my left hand. So my left hand, for the most part, in my ballad system, is going to be tenths and sevenths in single note bass notes. I'll say that again because it's extremely important. Tenths, sevenths, one and seven, I mean. So here's a tenth, right? Here's a one and seven. I'm not going to use that there. One and ten, single note bass notes like I played on the B flat 7. And then one and seven anywhere in, you know, as well. So I use those three components a lot, and it's a really great way to get your left hand going. That's really all you need. That's all you need. So let me go through this again. Just watch my left hand. Tenth, single note, bass note. Tenth. Now, if you can't reach a tenth, that's okay. You can break it up. So you can go or like this, just jump. Right? So I can do a tenth like this. Just one and or three and. So one and two and three and four and one, two. Right? Totally do that with your tenths, that's fine. Okay, so I'll keep going. Here's a single note bass note. Here's a tenth. Here's a tenth. Here's another tenth. Right? Now here's another tenth. Now finally we get to our first one and seven. Okay, then I usually use kind of mostly single note bass notes here. I'll do a tenth here, seventh, one and seven. And then actually I play one and five here to give it some lushness. That's the only component I actually haven't talked about yet. But as you can see, for the most part in my ballads, you can create extremely beautiful ballads with one and seven, one and ten, and single note bass notes, okay? There's a little bit more that goes into it. How do you choose? It's really based on how far the melody goes up or low. So low or high. When the melody, here's a great general rule of thumb. When the melody is lower, I'm tending to use single note bass notes. For example, here, a lot of the times I don't need to play a tenth because my right hand can take that shell. So just like we started with our shells here, I don't need to play a tenth. I don't need to overreach because my right hand can pick up the slack because the melody is low. The melody is low. Same thing here. My right hand's covering all the components I need. My shells, my melody, my bass note, and I'm adding that extra extension. Now the melody goes a little bit high now. So what this does here is it creates a gap. You see this gap between my bass note, my shells, and my melody. So to fill that gap, this is why I start playing tenths. Because on the piano, playing a nice balanced harmonic spread over the keys between the melody and the bass note in between these two notes creates really beautiful stacked resonance and harmony.
So if I have this big gap here, it sounds thin. This is exactly why I need to play my 10th to fill in the gap between. You hear the difference there, right? And if I fill this a little bit more, and if I put the 5 down here, see how lush it gets when I start to fill in the spread between my melody and bass note? So we need to kind of fill in these places, right, in order to get this rich, lush, pro sound so that it sounds full, okay? Otherwise, it's just going to sound thin. But this is how we start to choose where the tenths are. Again, my A flat here, my D flat bass note. By the way, guys, all your bass notes should be below this C3. For the most part, 99% of the time, it's a great general rule of thumb. You'll essentially start to sound more like a pro if you just keep your bass notes below C3. Just don't play roots above C3, and you're already well on your way to sounding like a pro, okay? I promise you. But it's a hard rule to stick to, but just try your best, all right? So here's my D-flat bass note. I have my shells and my melody. Now again, you see this huge gap here between my last shell and my bass note. This is why, again, I'm gonna play a 10th here. Right, you hear the difference there? Now again, my melody's up here, okay? I could play my two shells down here with my right hand, that's okay. You know, but if I were to do this, I would take that 10th there. So this is how we, and again, all of this, I go into all of this much more thoroughly inside of JPS as well into this system, but that's just a little overview into your left hand. Let's get into these advanced movements now, okay, and reharm. So I'm really gonna escalate the level now. If it's a little bit too advanced for you, don't even worry. I think just learning about some of the progressions I'm using and the movements will be very, very helpful, even if you're not at that current level yet. Just listening, taking it in. I promise you, a lot of times, a week down the road, things click and you would have never even imagined. You're like, oh my God, that's what he was talking about, right? So no worries. Try not to get overwhelmed or stressed, to try to take it in. Have fun. Listen, here we go. So my E flat. I don't tend to do much here with this first measure in particular, in this particular tune, in Body and Soul. I love my D7. I love my D7 change here. And I like to mess around with this D7 a lot. So a lot of times, I will for sure use this tritone. I like to make it a sus chord, so I'll go E flat minor 7, and then I'll go into a D7 sus, right, and resolve it. So what I'm playing here is a D7 sus. I have just an octave in my left hand. I have an A minor 7 in third inversion. This creates a D minor sus, and I'll resolve it into my D flat major 7. Gorgeous, gorgeous movement. So I'm just taking that tritone dominant chord and I'm making it a sus chord. You can do this for all dominant chords. It's so easy. Here we go. Adding the 11 here, beautiful extension. Some rolls. Sus. I use a different voicing here this time. Right? So I love that sus chord. Another thing I love to do here is instead of a D7 sus to a D7, I actually play a 2-5 here. So I'll go A minor 7 to D7. And if I'm playing solo piano, I got to get my A in the bass for the roots, right? For the roots. And so this way you'll actually hear the A minor 7 going to the D7. Sometimes I like to keep it as simple as just shells. Here we go. So A minor 7 into my D7. I did a little roll in my left hand, a little trill in my right hand, right? And then I can even go to another type of D7 chord, altered. So there's so many ways you can mess around. Like, that's one chord, y'all, right? Think about that. I'm taking one dominant chord and creating almost 4 or 5 different types of sounds out of this one dominant chord. That just shows you the power of reharms in advanced jazz piano movements, because, you know, you can start to do anything with that. It's pretty ridiculous. Is the volume still good for you guys? My volume, I haven't changed any settings. It's at 15 decibels right now. Let me know. Deborah Ann says it went down. But let me know if it has gone down for you guys. I'm not really sure. I didn't change or tweak anything. Here we go. A minor, D7, D flat. OK,
Okay, let's talk about this G flat 7 chord, right? So we got D flat major going to a G flat 7. It's pretty standard 1 to 4. Okay, 1 to 4 dominant. It's not a major 4, it's a dominant 4. Thanks, Alan. So just like in measure 2, I can start to use a tritone here, which I love. And I use this tritone walk down here. I really don't hear many people do this. Which is a really fun reharm for 1-4-3-6 progressions, which this is. It's not a total 1-4-3-6. It's actually a 1-4-3-flat-3 diminished into the 2, right? But essentially, it's the same thing. That diminished chord really is a reharm or a substitute for our 6 chord. So we have 1-4-3. I like to think about it as a 6 or a flat-3 diminished. They're essentially the same thing, okay? So what I do here is I take the tritone of G-flat 7. So I'm going to play a tritone of G-flat 7. If you know your tritone reharm, you'll know how to do this. Okay, if you don't know your tritone reharm, I highly recommend you learn it. I'm going to go to C7 altered. Let's just start with the basic C7. Then I'm going to take a tritone of my F minor 7, and I'm going to go down again by a half step, make that a B7, and then a B-flat 7, which leads into my E-flat minor 7, right? So let me do this in the key of C so you guys can see this a little bit better. C, 1-4-3-6. Okay? So instead of a 1-4-3-6, we can go 1, just down by half steps. Here's a tritone for our 4, tritone for the 3, and then finally into the 6. So the only two chords that stay in the progression are the 1 and the 6, but the 3 and the 2 get tritones. 1, it's just walking down by half steps. Right, so instead of 1-4-3-6, I'm going 1, half step, half step, half step. They're the same. And likewise, if you see a walking down half step progression, you can substitute a 1-4-3-6 for that. So you can go 1-4-3-6. Right? They both get you to the 2 chord, which is our main goal. So here's what it might sound like. Sometimes I'll do this with the melody. But I tend to do it more as when I'm comping or supporting people. There's my C7 altered. I love that. Whoops. Right? And I'm harmonizing the melody now to kind of fit my chords. So I have my third over the B7. So I go B7, 9 over the B7. I'm going B-flat 7 sus here. B-flat 7 sus with my C in the melody, right? And then into my, So B-flat 7 sus, I was thinking in the key of C, right? So back into our 5 again with the B natural. So I'm going B-flat 7 sus. I'll slow this down for you guys again, don't worry. B-flat 7 sus. And then B-flat 7, essentially, with my 13 or flat 13, or sometimes I like to throw in both, just get that rub. So here it is again, D-flat, C7 altered. This is our substitution now for the 1-4-3-6. B7, B-flat 7 sus, B-flat 7 now, so I'm resolving my 4 to my 3. This would be a B flat there. And then into my 2. Okay, one more time and I'll move on. Beautiful. I love that. I use that a lot. It's such a fantastic reharm. Again, to practice this or integrate it into tunes, many tunes simply work on your 1-4-3-6 progressions in any key. And practice doing the substitute. So take the key of C, 1-4-3-6. Try to comp through that first, 1-4-3-6. I'm just using rootless voicings here. And then do the reharm, 1 half step, half step, half step. All right? Let's move on here. Okay. Now here on the second line, sometimes I'll do a little half step lead into the E flat minor 7. So I'll go E minor 7. You can do this in any on any minor chord. You can just do a half step above lead in. So E minor 7, down into my E flat minor 7, right? E minor 7, rootless voicing here, 1 and 5. Rootless voicing here, 1 and 5. So I'm just leading into that. And then melody. Okay. One of the things that people like to do here is to create some movement on the E flat because it's one whole measure. They just take an E flat minor 7 and move the bass note down by a whole step. Get some walking bass motion into my C minor 7 flat 5. So it'll sound like this, E flat over D flat, and then into my C minor 7 flat 5, F7, okay? So not much I do there. Sometimes I'll do a half step below the E flat, diminished chord. Half step below the E flat, diminished chord, so that means D diminished, okay? So again, I did E minor 7 here, and then into my E flat, E minor 7, E flat. So now this other reharm is gonna be a diminished from below, D diminished into my E flat, half step below, D into my E flat. That's for all minor chords, everyone. All minor chords you can approach from below, half step below, diminished, into your minor, okay? Deborah says, if you're playing rootless voicings, why are you playing the root in left hand? We always need our root, Deborah. I'm not sure I understand your question correctly, but your root in solo piano, I'm playing a solo piano ballad, so when you're playing a solo piano ballad, you should always have your root in your arrangement because you need that bass note. That's why I'm playing rootless voicings in my right hand, and I have my root in my left hand because I'm imitating a double bass. I want this to be the low end of my sound and resonance to the harmonies I'm creating for the tune because we need that bass note to hear the root of the structure. Okay, so here we go. Oh, sorry, I'll take it from before. Let me see. Where were we? Do-dee-do-dee-doo. So there's my D minor diminished into my E flat minor again. I'll do it from the F minor 7. Diminish. I don't particularly like that diminished reharm there personally. It kind of sounds cool, but that's not the one I use. I tend to do the E minor 7 there. So again, from the F minor 7. I like that one better. So E, E flat. And I have to fit it in a little fast, right? To get it in time for to hit that E flat minor 7. So this is the measure before. Here comes the E minor 7, E, E flat. E flat over D flat. Let's talk about this here. Natural 9 over my C minor 7 flat 5. So I love this particular measure. I get to use my natural 9. This is a beautiful extension on my C minor 7 flat 5 chords, right? There's my 9 and my C minor 7 flat 5. I have 1 and 10, right? Just like we talked about in the beginning of this lesson. 1 and 10, I have flat 5 because I need my flat 5 in there. I got my 7, we need our 7 in there too. Okay, I got my melody, and then I'm adding one extension here, the 9. Right here, because my third finger's right over top of it. Why not, right? Gorgeous. Now, instead of hitting this F7, what am I doing here? I'm using a tritone reharm again. The tritone reharm is one of the most powerful reharms combined with sus or relative to reharms you could ever learn, right? If you know how to use it correctly. So C minor 7 flat 5, I'm gonna go to a tritone of F7 now, a B7, right? Rootless voicing here. Do you see how many rootless voicings I'm using, y'all? Like, rootless voicings aren't beginner, right? They're beautiful, beautiful voicings that everyone needs to learn and master because they're used all the time. They're not beginner voicings. They have beautiful 9s and beautiful 13s built into them, right? You're like 90% of the way there in jazz if you can just master your rootless voicings and play them without hesitating for a second. But that takes a lot of discipline and practice to get to that level, right? So rootless voicing, and I have a 10th in my left hand, just like I taught you guys. This isn't rocket science. I'm doing the same thing here over and over and over and over again. It's about practice, and it's about as many repetitions as you need to get this to be spontaneously come through your playing, right? So again, from the E flat over D flat, my beautiful natural nine with the melody, now my tritone. So what can I do to my tritone now? I can make my tritone a sus as well. So I can go sus. This is a drop two sus resolution. This is a drop two sus resolution. Let's check it out here, okay? So here's my sus chord, right? Here's my sus. 7, 9, 4. My four in the dominant seven chord is what makes the sus sound, the four. Okay, I'll say that again. The four over a dominant makes it a sus, right? A suspended four. And I'm going to resolve this to the three of the B7 right here. So I have... What I'm doing with that reharm that I've created is I'm churning this chord now into a drop two. So a drop two means I'm taking the second note from the top. I'm going to drop it down to my left hand. Okay, so instead of playing the E here, I'm going to play the E here. That's called a drop two because I'm dropping the second note from the top of my voicing to my left hand. And then I'm going to move my four down to my three to resolve. My right hand doesn't even change really. But I did do good. I did do this. It's a little harmonic 10th walking motion. So my 13 of the chord actually follows the motion and drops to the 5, right? Very, very advanced, okay? But I warned you guys. Beautiful. Okay, let's try it again. Okay. I'm going to do the last two measures here, and then we'll wrap up for this because I think that's enough. We don't even need to get to the bridge, right? I'm sure a lot of your heads are spinning already. If you guys have any questions, please put them in the chat. Love to answer them. So with this last particular measure, there's four chords. There's four chords here written in, right? So a lot of times, it's hard to manage four chords. So what do we do here? When you have two fives, which we do, we have a B flat minor 7 going to E flat 7. E flat minor 7 going to A flat 7. All right, going to our D flat. I don't know why I sung that, but I'm a weirdo, so whatever. B flat minor 7, E flat 7, E flat minor 7, A flat 7, D. So four chords. This is a fantastic reharm you can use over any 2-5. And it works particularly well over this 2-5 because we're trying to, I shouldn't say we're trying to, but we can condense the chords so to make it a little bit easier on ourselves. So when you have a 2-5, I'm going to go to the key of C so it's a little bit easier for you all to see. D minor 7, G 7, C major 7. You can always remove the minor 2 chord in a 2-5-1 and replace it with a sus of the 5. So instead of this, D, G, C. We can go G sus, G dominant, C major 7. I'll play it again. G sus. Here's my sus note, my 4. I just talked about this. We're going to resolve this down to the 3 to make a resolution into a natural dominant. Dominant down to the 1 chord. Okay, I'm just playing shells, right? So again, 2, 5, 1 now becomes 5 sus, 5 dominant. 1 major 7. So I've removed the 2 minor 7 chord, which allows my brain to rest on the chord of G a little bit, right? So how would we apply this to the B flat minor 7, E flat 7, E flat minor 7, A flat 7? Okay, I'll give you guys a second to think about it. Well, a couple more seconds. How would we reharm this now, giving the tool I just taught you, right? I want to teach you how to fish. So I want your brains to work and learn how to apply these tools to all tunes because you should be able to do it. Once you learn how to fish, you should be able to fish and feed yourself whenever you want. That's my goal. Okay, so how would we reharm this just like I showed you? So I'm going to tell you the answer now. I'm going to remove the two minor seven chords in this particular passage. Now, granted, I still have four chords, right? Because you could argue, well, you're going to have E flat sus, and then E flat dominant, and then A flat seven sus, and then A flat dominant. Yes, that's true. But the only movement I need to make now is just this 1/4 to 3, and my bass note stays the same. That's kind of easy. So from an improvisational standpoint, I can just essentially think E flat, like if I was improvising. And then I can just think A flat. Right? So it kind of just loosens up my brain a little bit. And I don't really think A flat sus to A flat. I don't think really E flat sus to E flat. I just think kind of really E flat, but I am changing the resolution, but it's just one note. So it does make it a lot easier. So here's how the progression would sound. I'll go from the E flat minor 7, two chords before. Here's my natural 9 into my sus. So E flat 7 sus. Okay, and when you're comping as well, that actually is when it really becomes easier. So if you are actually comping in a band or something like that, you can just go E flat 7 sus, E flat, A flat 7 sus, A flat, D flat. And actually, I'll tell you one little hack too, one little tip. You don't actually need to resolve the sus chords. You can just leave them as sus chords. So you could just go E flat 7 sus, A flat 7 sus, D flat. You don't actually need the resolution if you don't want it. And sometimes for a more modern sound, I'll just leave these as sus chords also. I'll just go E flat 7 sus, A flat 7 sus. It's such a beautiful way, right? So if I'm comping through this with a band, E flat minor, E flat minor. E flat 7 sus. Right? Isn't that gorgeous? It's a much more modern sound when I don't resolve to the dominant. Again, really nuanced things, but they're very, very important. All right. So that brings us, well, let's do this last measure and then I'll wrap up. This B7 chord, right? I love to use like an altered sound here over the B flat 7. So check out this voicing I'm using here. I'm taking a B flat 7 altered rootless voicing in my right hand. This is a altered rootless voicing. If you don't know your altered rootless voicings, again, that's the next level above your rootless voicings. Highly recommend learning those. Very, very handy for an out jazz sound. We get the sharp 9 and we get the flat 13 here. So again, I'm creating a drop 2 out of my voicing by using the same principle and technique I used from previously. I'm gonna take this third here and I'm gonna drop it down to my left hand. Again, I can't reach this 10th, so I'm jumping. Jumping is completely okay. Keith Jarrett had super tiny hands. He couldn't reach 10ths. And think about how famous and how amazing he is. He was playing 10ths all over the place by jumping. Just like this, right? Broken 10ths sound fantastic too. All right, listen to that sound. This is the cream of the crop, altered drop 2 voicing. Like, it really doesn't get more fancy than this. This is Esch Pro top level voicing. Right here in this register, with it's nice and meaty down here, right around C4 in the middle C. Right, a lot of students are afraid to play down here, but don't be afraid. I promise you, once you get used to this low end area, they create these rich, lush, meaty voicings. Okay, that are not thin, which are really nice. So I love that altered voicing over that 6 chord. Another 6 chord, you can use this in a lot of different ways in any turnaround. 1, 6, altered. Right, in any sort of progression. Now, what can we do here as well? Well, it's a dominant chord. So as I've been saying before, right? Fleet says, damn, why do you have to do Keith like that? I know, I'm outing him, but it's out of respect. And in awe, really, it's quite incredible what he does. So I love sus chords over dominance. Sus chords over dominance. That could be the theme of this entire live stream, right? Sus chords over dominance. So I can go to my B flat 7 sus. Here's my B flat 7 sus. I'm voicing it like this. I'm actually adding the root in here. A flat, B flat, 4. So the roots, when you get to a certain level, they are characteristic notes. Like teachers in the beginning will tell you to stay away from the roots, but they can add a lot. I don't always want the 9 in here. The 9 is a color, and if I want to make my chord a little bit more neutral with a little bit less color, sometimes I don't want so much color, so I'll put the root in there. It's a more neutral chord, right? But I do have a beautiful 13 on top. So by this, guys, this is such advanced stuff. I just want to let you know. By removing my 9, I actually highlight my 13 on top. Because now the 9 isn't competing with the 13. I don't have two extensions competing with each other. And then all I did here is roll this up. And I'm holding the pedal down. Isn't that gorgeous? Like, that's so gorgeous. And then I'm using the same technique to get back to my first chord up top, my E-flat minor. I'm going E minor 7, E-flat minor 7, or I could do the diminished as well. So here's my sus, D diminished. I actually like that one a lot better there to get back to the repeat at the top of the page, right? All right. So I'm going to play through this. I'm going to try and get in, if I can, as many of the reharms we talked about as possible, okay? And I'll go slowly here. And I'll go through once calling them out, and then I'll go through once without talking, just so you can hear the effect. Well, let me get this over here a little bit more. So I'll make sure you have the music, so you can kind of follow along if you don't have it in front of you here. All right. So here we go. A little lead in to start. Whoops. Here we go. E minor. So I'm going to use the E minor 7 to my E flat. D7 sus. Resolution. I'm going to use my walk down. B-flat 7 sus, B-flat 7 resolution, E minor 7, E-flat over D-flat, C minor 7 flat 5 with a 9, B7 sus, E-flat 7, E-flat 7 sus rather, A-flat 7 sus, A-flat resolution, B-flat 7 sus, D diminished into my E flat. Okay? It's a lot. That's a lot. And again, at the pro level, this happens instantaneously as I'm playing. Okay? But all you have to do, do not try to take all of these and put them all into one. Take one. Just take one of the ideas or concepts that I learned. Do not practice them in tunes just yet. You can practice it in Body and Soul because this is the tune I'm actually using to represent the reharm. But you want to isolate your reharm and really learn it. It's like learning a tool. Like if you are a surgeon and you're given a different tool you've never used before, you don't want to go right into the operating room and start using a huge scalpel that you've never used before, right? That's literally what I see students do all the time. It's like if someone gives you a chainsaw and you've never used a chainsaw before, you just go right up to the tree and start using it. That's very, very dangerous, okay? It's the same thing here. When I teach you tools, or if you learn tools from teachers or on YouTube or anything like that, right? Get comfortable with your tool through your 2-5-1s in a controlled environment, right? Just take your time, work it through your keys, get used to it. So practice your tritone through your keys. Boom, tritone. Boom, tritone. Right? Get comfortable with the tool. And then once you learn how to use your tool, you can take your chainsaw and use it on any tree. Right? You can take your tool and use it in any tune. You can take your scalpel and use it. That's a bad analogy. I don't want you guys to think about that. But the surgeon can take their tool and use it on any operating procedure that they have, right? So here it is again. I'll go through twice to play all the reharms that we just talked about without talking. Thank you. on and so forth, all the way through the bridge, right? So, hope that was helpful for you guys. Again, it's something I don't usually do, but I will start to do a lot more of those. If you guys like this, please let me know in the chat. I would love to get your feedback. If you enjoyed more of the analysis type podcast or lesson from me, I should say, let me know if this was helpful for you. Let me know what you guys are going to try next, right? Again, just to recap, when you start to use some of the things that I've taught you here, just isolate that one component, right? Don't try to do everything that I did. And I also encourage you to try not to just go to the tune and copy what I did as well, right? Try not to just copy the notes. I know you could rewatch the recording and look at the MIDI and stuff and figure out my voicings. Try to really understand it as much as possible. When you can understand it, it's gonna help everything that much more. And you'll be able to use your tools more freely to create jazz piano freedom in your playing. You're going to make so much more progress when you learn the tool and you use it through the keys and you work with the tool slowly and you really learn how to wield the tools I'm talking about, your susses, your tritones, right, your movements. When you really isolate them and you can wield them well and you have control over them, your playing is going to be so much more, so much better, faster, rather than just kind of copying what I'm playing, okay? All right, guys, maybe I'll go into the bridge for the next iteration of this particular analysis series, or maybe I'll go to another tune. I'm not really sure yet, but as always, I hope you guys have a fantastic day. If you guys enjoyed this and you're watching the replay, go to jazzpianoschool.com. You can click membership up in the top area. Check out the membership options. By the way, I go into all of this much more in depth with exercises, videos, everything you could possibly need support inside a jazz piano school. So everything I'm showing you here is actually taught inside a jazz piano school in a much more thorough way that allows you to use the exercises I've created for you over each and in each individual tool that I've shown you here too. So might be something for you to think about if you do want to study with myself or my teachers. We have live programs available in my Mastermind and Accelerator program. Okay. With that being said, I will see you guys soon.